This morning we're going to push forward. We're going to continue on because he's good. He's worthy of whatever we have to give him. And he takes it and turns it into something good always. But we're going to be continuing our message series entitled God Encounters here. As we look forward, obviously to the ultimate God encounter, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, just like us. And so we want to look forward this morning to everything that that God has for us, absolutely, because he has some good stuff in store for us. In fact, God said that his plans and purposes are greater than we could think, ask, or imagine. Greater are his plans and purposes for us. And so I don't know about you, but that's exciting, to look forward to those things. And to know that we have a hope. We have something to move into. We have something to look forward to, through all these things. So far we're challenged to seek after God encounters in the midst of our daily routines. We don't want to avoid missing them, right? Like Jacob almost did, and he declared, surely God was in this place and I wasn't aware of it. We don't want to miss out on those things. We're reminded that God has a reason and a purpose for those seasons of waiting in our lives. When God promises something and it doesn't just instantly come to pass, there's a reason for that waiting season when we look forward to those things. This week we're going to turn to a God encounter that's perhaps one of the greatest and most significant God encounters of all of mankind's history. And so we're going to turn together in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to start up there. And So I still hear pages turning. It's all right. Yeah. Pretty well familiar with this encounter. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we talked about that last week, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asked the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "I don't think this is fair. Mary got a break. Zechariah asked that same question, 'How can this be because I'm old?' And what happened to him? He got struck down. He couldn't speak, right? Remember? They're giving Mary some more grace. The angel answered her, and he said, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month.'" Did you guys ever hear some words that you didn't want to believe? Hard words, things you didn't think were going to be true. We live in this reality where we have facts and we have truth. We have our reality and we have what God says, truth. And they don't always jive, but they will ultimately. In fact, the angel goes on to say this truth: "For no word from God will ever fail." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. That powerful truth is what we're going to look at this morning, that no word from God will ever fail. His word is literally fail-proof. If he says it, it's truth. If he says it, it's truth. It will come to pass. And the entire reason why God's word is fail-proof is because the nature and the essence of God is exactly that. It's fail-proof. He will never change. He always is, always was, and ever will be. It's the nature of God himself, and so it's also the nature of his word. And in this ever-changing world, where it seems like the only thing that is certain is uncertainty, You ever have anything fall through where you thought was a sure deal, and next thing you know, it just crumbles before your eyes? The only thing that seems to be certain is uncertainty. And in this world, we desperately need something certain. We need something fail-proof that we can cling to keep us grounded and to keep us anchored in this life, to be our guide, to be a compass, you know, in this world of that's ever-changing. Thing, you just don't know what's coming your way, you know, the next moment. We need something, and that's, of course, God's Word. God's Word is exactly that. It's fail-proof. It is certain. You can stand on it, and it will come to pass. It absolutely will. I mean, listen to what God says about His Word itself, and for time's sake, I'm skipping some verses just to, you know, not take up everyone's time this morning, but in Isaiah 55, verse 1, God says this. He says, "Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Because why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, listen, and eat what is good. You will delight in the richest of fare." Have you ever had a time in your life when you were really, really hungry? It seemed like nothing satisfied it, you know? You know, maybe it was something like this, you know? Yeah. You went to eat some potato chips, grab some Little Debbie's, maybe get a bowl of ice cream, you know, a handful of cereal. You just go the whole way through the cupboard and the fridge, and yet still you're hungry. You're still hungry, right? We've all been there, right? Yeah, exactly. Why? Let's be honest with each other. Your body is craving food that it was designed for. It was designed, right, for food, for substance, but you just continue to fill it with lesser things, and it never satisfies. You know, if you maybe put together a sandwich, right, some nice thick bread, some Texas toast, probably would have filled you up right off the bat, right? It would have given you the satisfaction and health that your body longed for. If that's true about our bodies, I mean, it's really no different for our souls, right? If we continue to fill our mind and our time with hours of empty content, you know, looking through your Facebook, how much of our lives is this, you know? Filling up your mind with those things, you know, binge watching TV, now you can watch entire seasons without commercial break, you know. It's no wonder, you know, sometimes that we still feel empty, we feel frustrated, we feel confused, you know, we just get bitter in life. It's no wonder when we fill our lives with those things, we fill our souls with those things. But if instead we just took a little bit of time, doesn't take a whole lot of time, to fill our souls with the Word of God, how much different our lives would look. How much more peace and contentment we would have. How much clearer our choices would be if we just took time to feed our souls with what satisfies. That's what God's talking about here in Isaiah 55. It's not really about food. It's about our souls and feeding them with things that fill us up. You know, because why waste your money and your time filling up your life with things that don't satisfy? They just leave you hungrier and fatter and chubbier, and right? And he goes on and he says this in verse 3, "Give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live." See, God wants us to live lives to their full, to truly be blessed and to live a life of abundance. And I'm not talking about prosperity with a bunch of money and things. I'm talking about your soul to prosper in every way. In verse 6, it says, "To seek the Lord while he may be found and to call on him while he's near." He says, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is God speaking. "Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And there's no clear time for that when we face, you know, we talked at growth groups about uncertainty last week. There's no truer time in that when we don't understand what God's doing. We don't understand why he's allowing things that he's allowing. We don't understand what he's up to, because his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. How much better would our lives be if we got into alignment with his ways, if we got into alignment with his thoughts, right? And that's what the Word of God does. In fact, he says about his Word in verse 10 that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, which I love that. You know, this is before they understood the cycle of water. And God even gives scientific truth here in the middle of his word. But he said, in the same way, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It won't return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In fact, it goes on and it describes a life lived that way. It says, you'll go out in joy. You'll be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's like living in a musical, apparently, or an episode of Phineas and Ferb, you know? Your life can be that way, happy and carefree, free of worry and anxiety, and full of peace and joy. Your life can be that way when you walk in the counsel of God's word, when you stand on it as your truth. Yes, you're going to face uncertain times. Yes, you're going to have opportunities to worry and be filled with anxiety, but you don't have to when you know what God's calling you into, and you just stay faithful to that. Because God said this about his word, that it will not fail. It is fail-proof. It will always accomplish exactly what he desires. It'll always achieve the purpose for which he sent it. So believe it. Believe God at his word. And don't miss out on being a part of it. You see, we have a choice in life. God's word will never fail. Those prophetic words that he may have spoke over you and over your life, they're not going to fail. But if you're stubborn and pig-headed and refuse to get in agreement with him, he'll pick the person that's willing. He'll pick some 16-year-old virgin out in the middle of Nazareth and be like, okay, she's the one. She's the one that's going to carry my son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know. Because what did Mary say? May your word be fulfilled. I'm your servant. I'm just here to serve you. Man, why is it that when life gets tough, the first thing that always seems to go is service to the Lord? I can't serve him because I got to get my life right. I haven't found that in the Bible yet. I haven't found that. I found God choosing people whose lives are so screwed up. Saul, out to destroy and kill Christians, to put a stop to the gospel of Christ. And God's like, bloop, you're going to be my mouthpiece to the Gentiles. That's what he called him into, in the middle of his life being a wreck. When you could not be any more against God's will and his purposes, that's when God got a hold of him and called him. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on, you know. Mary said, I am your servant, just let your word be fulfilled. That was her heart. That was her intent. And that should be ours too. Faithful to serve God, just trusting that his word's going to be fulfilled. But why would we expect God's word to be fulfilled if we choose not to be a servant of the Lord, if we choose not to serve him, if we just choose to do things our own way? Is God's word ever going to be fulfilled in our lives? Or are we going to miss out on it? Are we going to miss out on his plans and purposes and what he has? You see, God's word, it gives us guidance and direction in life. God's word is a definitive standard, and it's a framework by which to live. It's literally the owner's manual of your life, because he's the one that authored it. Same one that authored the word of God is the same one that authored your life. And so it gives you a framework for which to live. It unveils for us our purpose in life and how to live our lives to their full. His word is a rock-solid foundation that we can build on. Not only build our lives, but build our families, build our businesses, build our marriages, build our education, build whatever. If you build it on the word of God, remember that parable of Jesus? Yeah, you're going to have tough times in life. Yes, the storms are going to come. They're going to beat against it. Yes, the enemy's going to rise up and try to steal it. But if you build it on the rock, it'll remain standing. Build it on the sand, it's gone, right? It comes crumbling down, everything you try to build. If you find yourself in life that everything you try to build keeps crumbling and crashing, you just might not be building it on the rock-solid foundation of God's word. It just might be the key. That might be the change that needs to take place. We know that its principles and its precepts are certain and true, even for those who are not believers. If they live out God's word, your life's going to be better, right? Jesus said the truth will set you free. It's one of the Ten Commandments not to lie. Did you ever notice that, like, even people who deny God's very existence, when they're honest, their lives go pretty well? If they lie, nobody trusts them, nobody wants to be their friends. You know, life just goes better when you live according to God's word, its principles and precepts. You know, and with Christmas time approaching here in this season, it's a good time for us to reflect back on this amazing truth that Mary proclaimed and that the angel proclaimed. Because God's prophecies and his promises, they were spanning generations. Generations of prophecies were coming to pass right then and there, right before their very eyes, right within their own lives. I mean, can you imagine being Mary? Can you just imagine being her? I mean, she was a person like us. She was engaged to be married, you know? And yet she was trusted to carry within her womb the long-awaited Savior, that Savior that she had heard about and been taught about, and the one that she praised, you know, praising God and serving him that he was going to bring the Savior, the very Son of God, the King whose reign would never end. You know, and her response to all these things, that she was going to be the one to carry it, was just, may your word to me be fulfilled. May your word to me be fulfilled. She didn't need to know all the details, even though she did ask one question and the angel explained it. She just trusted God and let God work all the details out. What if we had that same attitude toward life? If we just told God, may your word be fulfilled. We faithfully served him and we just trusted God to fulfill his word. Migraine's already going away, you know? How much better would our quality of life be? How much better? If she just considered herself to be a servant of God and considered God to be faithful enough to fulfill his word, and that's all that mattered. Now, that didn't mean that her life would be without challenges or opposition, right? I mean, literally, the way that this happened, she could have been stoned to death. Who's going to believe her that, you know, she... You know, that she just got impregnated, but it was the Holy Spirit, I swear. I'm still a virgin. It was the Holy Spirit, you know. Who's going to believe that? Her own fiancé, Joseph, had in mind to put her away quietly, to just end that, you know, to end that marriage arrangement. Remember that simple pregnancy caused King Herod to decree that all boys under the age of 2 in the vicinity of Bethlehem were to be murdered. We want to talk about some opposition. The king is set to destroy your baby boy. He's so set to destroy the life of this little child that he decrees that all boys, 2 and under, were murdered, killed. I mean, talk about opposition. We've never experienced opposition like that. You know, an angel had to literally come to Joseph in another God encounter and tell him to run away with Mary, flee to Egypt, get out of here, because Herod's going to try to take away his life. Okay, so that just because you are faithful to serve God and faithful to follow his word doesn't mean it's not going to be without opposition or challenges, but it means you're walking in agreement with God, and it's not going to fail. You're going to succeed. I mean, look at that. An angel came to let them know about it so they could get out of there in time. What it does mean is that in the midst of challenges and opposition of life, that we have this compass to guide us through them, that we know where we're heading, we know what steps to take, and we just faithfully walk it out. Because when we know for certain what God's will is, it enables us to endure hardship and to still press onward without losing hope, without losing courage. It gives us confidence to know that God is with us and for us. And when we're walking in agreement with his word, we're not going to fail. No matter what rises up against us, it's going to be fruitless. Every weapon formed against us, right, will fail. We love quoting those kind of scriptures. But believe it. The only way to believe that is to have confidence that you're doing what God's calling you to do. It's that confidence. That's the key to success in all of these areas. And Mary had that. She knew it was God's will for her to have that child. That's all that she knew. The angel didn't tell her how to raise him and, you know, what brand of, you know, whatever to use. I guess there weren't really brands then, but you get my picture. But she just trusted him. And if you haven't noticed, if you haven't read, despite the countless attempts, the plans for Jesus' life from birth to death were never derailed. He faced opposition at every turn. People were constantly trying to trip him up and to cause him to fail, and yet he always succeeded. He lived a life of obedience to his heavenly Father, and because of that, he overcame everything. Every single bit of opposition that he ever faced in life, he overcame. He even defeated death itself. He defeated death. The cross is empty, right? He defeated it. Completely defeated it. Jesus, his life was clear evidence that God's word is fail-proof. Because he said the reason for his success was because he only did what he saw his Father doing, right? He just walked in faithfulness and obedience to what his heavenly Father was calling him to do, calling him to be, and because of that, he never failed. In fact, we turn even beyond Jesus' life to the early church. King Herod was determined to put a stop to the church. I mean, big time. In fact, he imprisoned many members of the church, intending to persecute them publicly. James, one of the first disciples that Jesus called, was put to death by the sword. And Peter was next on his list. Peter was the next one. He just delayed because of the Sabbath day. The church came together and did what the church ought to do, right? Pray earnestly. They prayed and they prayed. And while they were praying, an angel came and released Peter from prison, and he showed up at the door that they were praying at. You see, despite such harsh and intentional opposition to God's word, this is what Acts chapter 12 says about that encounter. It says, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. You see, even in the midst of opposition, God's word can't be stopped. It can't be stifled. It can't be silenced. God's word will succeed. And when you're walking in agreement with you, with it, rather, look what happens. An angel came and released Peter from prison. Like, he thought it was a vision. He didn't even think it was real. He thought he was living out a dream, and yet it happened. The word of God is fail-proof. It cannot be stopped. So what better place to live life than in agreement with his word, so that you're unstoppable? Romans 8 teaches us about that. In fact, Jesus said this about his word in Matthew 24:35, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never will. Now, God's words may not come to pass when we want them to, nor when we how we expect them to, but it will happen. It is fail-proof. It will always accomplish the purposes of God. Because after all, who would have thought or ever dreamed that God would choose to come in the flesh by means of impregnating a single teenage girl? I mean, just nobody would ever dream or imagine that that's how God would fulfill his word, and yet he did. Who would have ever imagined that he would entrust the most valuable life of all time to this young and very inexperienced couple, their very first child? God's word may not come how we thought it would, but it will always come at just the right time and at just the right way. It is fail-proof. It will always come to pass. So what path does God have your life on right now? Where does he have you? Where does he want you to be? What is that path between here and there? And what are some of the obstacles that you're facing? Because whatever they are, God's word has something to say about it. God's word has direction and clarity on what you're dealing with. Think about this. If his word was powerful enough to bring everything in all of creation into existence, imagine what a simple word of God can do in your life. If he just said, let there be light, and all of a sudden there's no darkness, imagine what just that simple word, that simple phrase can do in your life. Or in the life of somebody else when he calls you to speak into their life. Think about that. Imagine what it can do to transform us. It's able to transform us into an entirely new creation, leaving the old us behind and moving us forward into that new us that God's creating us to be. God's word was able to bring everything out of nothing. That's how powerful and effective it is. The reality is that there's no circumstance that's ever too difficult for God to handle. There is no sin that is ever so great that God can't forgive. There is no relationship that is ever too far broken that God can't reconcile and restore. No life is ever too far gone for God to do an incredible work in and through it. You're never too far gone. As long as you draw another breath, God hasn't given up on you yet. His plans and purposes are still there waiting for us, just waiting for us to get into agreement with them. God's word is powerful enough to transform anything into accordance with his will. Anything, any situation, any circumstance into accordance with his plans and his purposes. Just a simple word from Jesus, think about that, was able to bring Lazarus from death to life. Now, if that dead, decayed body was not too far gone for God to bring back to life and to get right back into alignment with his plans and purposes, then you're not too far gone. I mean, some of y'all might stink a little, but not that badly. I think you're still going to be, you're all right, you know, God's able to do it. So what area of your life is God trying to speak into? Those words of Jesus to Lazarus was simply, come out, come out. That's all Jesus had to say, and it radically transformed Lazarus from death to life and right back into God's plans and purposes. So what area of your life needs that resurrection power of Jesus? Those simple words of come out. What is he calling you to come out of, and where is he calling you to go into? Where is he calling you to come out of? Because our responsibility is simply to listen and obey, to hear the word of God, and to walk in accordance with it, to walk in alignment with it. It's to allow the word of God to penetrate our lives, to saturate our lives, to drive out all of that negativity and doubts and worry and care and anxiety, to drive all those things out so that he can fill us with peace and joy and love and patience and self-control. He wants to fill us with those things. He wants to do it. All that we have to do is just yield to him and say, yes, God. Like Mary, just say, may your word to me be fulfilled. Give up control of your life and let him speak into it and have his way. It's literally that simple. That's a life of faith. And so this Christmas season, as we recall the birth of Jesus, as we look forward to his return, yeah, let's seek after a God encounter like Mary had. All that Mary received was a word from God, and that's all she needed. She just needed that word, and she said, may your word to me be fulfilled. Mary realized that God's word is fail-proof. And throughout this series, we're going to continue learning how God brings us into unique encounters, and that those encounters, they serve to guide us, as they did for Mary, to correct and to teach us, to encourage us, to save us. That's the God encounter that Joseph had fleeing from Nazareth and Bethlehem out to Egypt. He wants to save us, and most importantly, God encounters always seek to change us in some way. And so we're going to close in prayer here before we go back and enjoy the fellowship dinner. Jesus, we thank you so much for not giving up on us. Although, Lord, we may have felt like giving up and we may have expected you to do the same, we thank you that you haven't. We thank you that your word is fail-proof. And Jesus, we just give our lives to you this morning. Just have your way. Teach us your word. Teach us your ways so that we can walk in agreement with them. We want to live according to your word so that our lives will be fail-proof. So that your plans and purposes that are greater than we can think, ask, or imagine will become our reality. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us and for us and for giving us your word that never, ever fails. And Lord, we thank you this morning for this time we have together, for this meal. We pray your blessing upon that time together, and especially for everybody who worked to make it possible. We just thank you so much for it in your name. Amen.